Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Greetings, friends. This is Ray Brubaker. One of the signs that we are living in the last days is the attempt being made to organize all Christendom into one vast super-organization. For instance, there's the merging of denominations, as well as the federating of churches into a local, national, and a world council of churches. Also in the political realm, we are witnessing abroad the formation of the United States of Europe, with six nations already agreed at federation. And of late, there is the formation of the United Arab Republic, with other countries seen federating in the Middle East. And the United Nations represents man's greatest attempt at federating ever realized on a political scale, declares Dr. John Walvoord, president of Dallas Theological Seminary. The very evidence of the ecumenical movement in the world and the existence of the United Nations in the political scene are signs to us of the lateness of the hour. By the ecumenical movement, of course, is meant the merging of all religious forces into one vast super-church. The average churchman seems to hail this movement as a great triumphant victory over what they call denominational idolatry. Although we believe in a spiritual unity of believers that finds the truly born-again one in Christ, we question, as do others, whether the present vast ecumenical movement will end in success or failure. The Reverend Dr. John B. Sharon, editor of the Catholic World magazine, in commenting upon the World Council of Churches, has declared, "The success of Protestant unity groups could cause a total return to the one fold of the Roman Church." Since 1908, Catholics around the world have launched a prayer crusade for all non-Catholic Christians to return to the Church of Rome. In the United States, strange as it may seem, a Protestant Episcopal priest by the name of Paul James Francis was the instigator of this movement, which now has support of the Pope and finds Catholics around the world observing a week of prayer for all so-called non-Catholic Christians. The Reverend Francis left his denomination in order to foster this goal of Christian unity, believing all Christianity should again be united under papal authority. In Europe as well, similar efforts are now underway. In Western Germany, for instance, there is what is known as the Unisancta movement. Protestants and Catholics alike meet regularly in discussion groups. Recently, the leading Protestant prelate, Bishop Otto Debelius, made a secret mission to Rome to confer there with the Pope. Time magazine, reporting on this, declared that twice during the 15-minute interview, the subject of Roman Catholic participation in the World Council of Churches was discussed. Now, I'm sure many ask, of what significance is all this? Does the Bible have anything to say upon the subject? And what may we expect to see happen in the future? My friends, the book of the Revelation, sometimes called the Apocalypse, gives us a great deal of information as to what the future holds and as concerns the future world church. I'm sorry there are many who have never read this book, perhaps because it's the last book in the Bible, or perhaps because it's a book of mysterious imagery. However, in chapter 1 and verse 3 we read, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Again, in verse 19 of the first chapter, we read where the Apostle John is commanded to write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The book of the Revelation mainly concerns itself with events which take place after the Lord Jesus returns to this earth and catches away his true church. And it's interesting to note the very last promise in the book is where our Lord declares, "Surely I come quickly." And the last prayer given in the book is, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." I'm sorry to say there are many who do not believe in the return of Christ, even though hundreds of times it is mentioned in the Bible. Many ministers never preach from the book of the Revelation, and thus their people are not informed of future coming events. I addressed a men's gathering on one occasion, and speaking on this wonderful book, I had three retired ministers come to me, actually declaring they did not even know what was in the book, and not once had they ever preached from the Revelation. Now how tragic, when every minister is urged to declare the whole counsel of God. Well, the fact remains, my friends, Jesus said, "I will come again." His coming, he reminds us, will be unexpected, in such an hour as ye think not. Signs are given in the Bible which reveal it is close at hand. The return of Israel to her land is perhaps the outstanding sign that this generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. One of these days, the Bible reminds us, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In Look magazine some time ago, Dr. John Sutherland Bonnell had written an article which said, "Most Presbyterians do not believe in a material or literal heaven or hell." And as concerns the resurrection, Dr. Bonnell writes, "With a few exceptions, Presbyterians do not interpret the phrase in the Apostles' Creed, 'the resurrection of the body,' as meaning the physical body, but rather the spiritual body." Well, I'm afraid a great many people are going to be both surprised and sadly disappointed one of these days. For when Jesus comes, and the graves are opened, and the saved of earth are gathered, caught up to be with our blessed Lord, many are going to be left behind to face the awful judgments due to fall upon an unsuspecting world. For Jesus himself said of that day, "Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Talk about the Egyptian nightmare of plagues, disease, and death. Far worse than the flood which destroyed the ungodly of Noah's day, and far more horrible than the holocaust of fire and brimstone poured out on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, will be this awful tribulation period that immediately follows the return of Christ for his waiting church. The true church, of course, composed of the saved from various denominations, including Catholic, Protestant, and Jewish believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you will turn here to the 17th chapter of the book of the Revelation, you will find described before you events which will take place during this tribulation period. As our Lord spoke in parables while on earth, here he speaks in pictures. Picture, if you will, a woman riding a scarlet-colored beast. The woman, we read, is that great city that dwells on seven mountains and reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now the beast represents both an empire and its ruler. In its final form, it will be governed by 10 kings who give their power and their strength to the beast, or one whom we may call the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be given satanic power, so that he will cause fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men. He will actually perform miracles, as did Christ nearly 2,000 years ago. And thus for 3.5 years, he will receive worship from the people of the world, who unite into a world church, the like of which has never been seen before. Then a new world figure is seen to appear. His authority is great, for indeed we read, "Power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. A world government patterned after the United Nations, no doubt, elects him as president. Now, this world ruler does not come into prominence until he's suddenly wounded to death. Then we read his deadly wound was healed. It is this miraculous healing, being raised from the dead, that finds the attention of the world focused on him. For we read, the whole world wondered after the beast. Now, as a result, the whole world is seen worshiping at the feet of this world ruler. For the Bible declares, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Now, Antichrist, who is the miracle worker, and who may have had power to raise this emperor from the dead, is now seen erecting an image to him. We read, he had power to give life unto the image, that the image should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now the fate of both these men is recorded in Revelation 19, verse 20, where we read, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. A friend of mine, this is not a fairy tale. This is God's message as concerns still future events. And I am literally overwhelmed when I realize that in Europe today, six nations have already agreed to federate. And I wonder just how close we might be to the actual fulfillment of these events. I read where these six nations are still undecided where the capital of a United States of Europe is to be. But you can rest assured, the Bible clearly defines the seat of this coming revived Roman Empire when a permanent capital is finally agreed upon. Now, witnessing these significant happenings, my friends, those of you still outside of Christ, I urge you today, while there is still time, to flee to the loving arms of the Savior. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and salvation. And today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Trust Christ today. Tomorrow may be too late. Remember, friends, Jesus is coming very soon. And his message? Be ye therefore ready.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a podcast of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you, is our prayer.